I hope you find this helpful as we look at this passage and this topic. And as we do that, let's just commit this time of proclamation to the Lord. Father in heaven, we are in awe of how big and a powerful God that you are. And Father, tonight, as we turn to look at the creation account, Father, we ask that you would help us to grasp afresh how you made this universe by simply speaking your word of power. And Father, in the time scale that you made it in, Father, teach us more of what does seem in some ways a mystery, and give us faith tonight to believe the truth of your word. So Father, we ask, speak to us tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to consider question 9 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 9 asks, what is the work of creation? And its answer is, the work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Let me say that again because it's quite a mouthful. The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. I wonder if a team of us from Craigie Hill went down to Larne Town Centre on a Saturday afternoon to carry out a survey asking people how they believed the earth was created, how life as we know it came about. I wonder what answers would we receive. Would we hear answers like the Big Bang Theory, evolution, God, or simply, I don't know, I don't care, and I don't think about things like that? In the 21st century, we find ourselves living in a scientific age. Many in our society today believe in the Big Bang Theory. This theory uses astronomy and cosmology to study the universe. The astronomers claim to use devices to study the stars, while the cosmologists research the physical properties of the universe. And in reality, this theory does not believe that God created the universe. Big Bang followers believe it took much longer than 6 days to create the universe as we know it today. They believe that the universe came into existence around 13.7 billion years ago. The universe, they believe and claim, was created through an explosion which led to a huge expansion that blew space up like a gigantic balloon. And they think we're balloons. That's me and my ignorance. There's others in our society who believe that the world is created by evolution. How does an evolutionist believe that the world was created? Well, it's important to point out that there is two different types of evolutionists. There is the naturalistic evolutionist and the theistic evolutionist. A naturalistic evolutionist maintains that planet Earth is around 4.5 billion years old. However, they believe the universe began around 14 billion years ago. They believe that life commenced by bacteria growing deep in the rocks, and this has continued evolving even to this very day. They believe that life is created by purely natural forces. They do not believe that God created the universe. They do not believe that God has driven the evolutionary process. The theistic evolutionist confirms the process of the naturalistic evolutionist. However, they believe that this evolving process is controlled by God. A theistic evolutionist believes that Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are not to be taken literally. That's been quite a learning experience for me this week, because I have no interest in any of this. Any of these two theories. I don't read this at night in bed. Tonight, we as followers of Jesus Christ believe that the Bible, that Scripture, is to be our authority in understanding how the world and universe was created. As a Reformed, confessional, evangelical church, we believe that God's word in Genesis 1 and 2 is literally how God created the universe. Maybe you are here tonight and you don't believe in the Big Bang Theory. You don't believe in evolution. But you may also not believe that God created the earth. Maybe you're here saying to yourself, is it just not possible that the world has always been here? No, that's not a possibility. And here's two reasons why. Firstly, it goes against the teaching of Scripture. But secondly, it doesn't make logical sense. Logic confirms to us that what is created and has duration by a succession of time must have a beginning. We believe as Presbyterians that God is the one who has made the world, the universe that we live in. We believe that God created the universe in the beginning of all time, as Genesis 1 and verse 1 points out. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, we see that it is God only that gives being to all things. It states, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts. The earth and all that is in it, the sea and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. The first question for us to consider tonight is, what exactly does the Catechism mean when it says that the work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power? I am not a handyman. If you were needing a picture hung, don't phone me, because I wouldn't. Well, I could attempt it, but you may not have a wall by the time I'm finished. But I want you to imagine for a minute that I am going to build a garden shed. I would need materials to build it. I would need wood, nails, screws, hinges, glass, and probably lots of other materials. When you and I make things, when we create things, we need materials, but not God. In Genesis 1, we see time and time again that God creates and makes all things of nothing by merely speaking the word. God did not need materials to create the world. God simply said, let it be, and there it was. God created all things out of nothing, except by the word he spoke. Let's look through the passage. It tells us it. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:6 and 7, God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the waters. And it was so. Genesis 1 verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:14-15, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1 verses 20 and 21, and God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. From Genesis chapter 1, we see very clearly that when God spoke, say, let there be, that became a reality. And that became a reality instantly. God did not use materials. We may struggle to understand how this can ever be possible, but we must remember that God is the one who makes the impossible possible. And we are not called to question God's infinite power and authority. We are to be a people who trust God, and we trust Him as the creator and sustainer of life. Romans chapter 1 verses 20 teaches us of the excellencies and perfections of God, which are displayed so clearly in the work of creation. It states, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. From the Genesis creation account, we see God's infinite power, His extensive goodness, and His manifold witness. God's infinite power is demonstrated to us by the fact that He created the world by bringing all things, all of a sudden, out of nothing, by His bare word. Psalm 33 verses 6 and 9 states, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Hebrews 11 verse 3 states, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Tonight, do you by faith understand that God created the universe by the word He spoke? It's totally mind-blowing. But doesn't it show us how awesome our God is? Next, let's consider, what does the Catechism mean by the term in the space of 6 days? What does the Catechism mean by the term in the space of 6 days? How should the Hebrew word yom, and yom means day, how should that be translated? How should it be understood? If you are a young earth creationist, you will believe that all living things were created simultaneously within the time frame proposed in the Genesis creation account. You will believe that 6 days means 6 days with a 24-hour period in each of the days. However, there's also another theory, and that is of the old earth creationists. They believe the word yom should be translated as an indefinite time particle. By this they mean an indeterminate period of time. The old earth creationists translate the word day to mean a long period of time, not a specific period of 24 hours. The old earth creationists believe that there is a large time gap between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. As a Reformed confessional evangelical church, we believe that the Genesis creation account is speaking of 6 24-hour days. Why do we believe that God created the world in 6 24-hour days? Well, firstly, the world, the word of God is infallible. And we, to be able to understand this correctly, we need to understand the context of yom, of day, in Genesis chapter 1. Have you noticed that each time day is stated in Genesis chapter 1, the text confirms the number of the day, and there is always this statement, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day. We see this in verses 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. Why does the author of Genesis 1 go to so much trouble to point this out to us? Why does he go to so much trouble to point out that there was evening and there was morning each day? I believe the author wants us to be able to understand clearly, without any doubt whatsoever, that each day was just a 24-hour day. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, if God has infinite power, why did it take him 6 days of 24 hours? Well, the reality is that God could have created all things in just a moment of time. God does have the power to do that. But God's plan of creation was carried out in such a way as to provide mankind with an example of working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. That's what Exodus 20, verse 11 explains to us. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." The creation account in Genesis 1 is where the idea came for a seven-day week. Tonight, if you're here as someone who does not believe that God created the world in 6 24-hour days, I believe then this is what you're saying. You're saying that God doesn't have the power to do it. And can I say that that's a very foolish thought to have and a very dangerous position to hold? Yes, I can understand how we humanly struggle to grasp such an event. But we're called to have faith. We are called to have faith. Do you remember Hebrews 11 and verse 3, what it says? By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Tonight we should be in awe of the sovereign power, the greatness of our God. He spoke and it came into being in an instant. Tonight we should be in awe that God made the galaxies, the solar systems, the planet in which we find ourselves living on, in simply 144 hours. Wow, what a God. And we say a week's a short time. It's unbelievable what can be done in a week when you're God. Why does the Catechism teach us that what God made was very good? Why did God say that all he made was very good? Why do we believe that? Well, it's quite simply because the Bible teaches us it. Look through the text once again. Genesis 1 verse 4 says, "And God saw that the light was good." Genesis 1:10 tells us God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:12, "The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1:17-18, "And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1:21 says, "So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1:25, "And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kind, everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." And finally, Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." What do we see in each of these verses? We see that God declares that the works that he spoke out is good, is very good. How does knowing that the work of creation is God making all things out of nothing by the power of his word in the space of 6 days and all very good affect our lives in 2018? I believe it makes the difference of night and day. How on earth can you not believe that God created this world, this universe that we live in? How on earth can you not believe it when you see creation anew each and every day of your lives? What nonsense to think that a big bang made all this. Especially living in a land where we live, where every bang destroyed. How on earth do we honestly think that bacteria was in a rock when nothing existed, and it just evolved over 14 billion years? That's just a load of nonsense. I would like to think even Abigail, if she could talk, would know that that's nonsense. If she doesn't, she'll soon learn. Dear help her. I've been strong about this tonight. If you don't have faith to believe that God created the universe out of nothing, but that he spoke and it was, and it was completed in a period of 6 24-hour days, and God saw that it was good, then how on earth can you claim to believe the virgin birth, in Jesus being our mediator, in his resurrection? You cannot take one part of the Bible and say it's true, and take another part and say it's not true in that little time frame. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't if you're cake and eat it. Genesis is very clear that God is our creator. Tonight God's word to us is that we should be in awe of how infinitely powerful God is. He spoke and it was. God said, "Let there be," and it was. Out of nothing but his word. If we trust and believe and have faith that the Bible is true, that God is our creator, the creator of the galaxies of the universe, then we also can believe the promises of Scripture that there's going to be a new creation. And as followers of Christ, we are part of that new creation. And we can hold on to the promises that lay before us In Revelation 21, verses 1 and 7, this is what it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. And he who is sitting on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I am the Alpha and the Omega." Sorry, "And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God and he will be my son." Who will have this heritage? Those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Tonight, do you know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? Tonight, are you assured that when you leave this seam of time, that you will be a citizen of the new heaven and new earth? Tonight, are you a member of that new creation where the old is gone and the new has come? I trust that by God's grace that you are. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we now want to respond to the truth of your word. And Father, we are in awe tonight that you are our creator. We are in awe tonight that you spoke, let it be, and that became a reality right there, right then. Father, we are in awe of how you created this world, the galaxies, literally within 6 24-hour days. Father, we are amazed at your infinite power. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of faith. And may we be a people tonight who have living faith in knowing that you are our creator. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.